Calling home this morning is Kiwi Colin McRae in Panama. Colin's from Titirangi in Auckland. He used to be a chief engineer on super yachts. He's just returned from a two-month gig doing this, but he gave that away as his full-time job, and he bought a hurricane-damaged Lagoon 450 catamaran. And we'll find out what he's doing with that on that. For fans of the Below Deck reality shows, Colin features in the Below Deck sailing yacht spin-off series. Colin and friends will soon set sail to New Zealand, heading down the Panama Canal. Colin, buenos dias, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Very well. I know where you are. I think I do. You're in the Linton Bay Marina on the shores of the Caribbean Sea. It's quite something, that marina, when you see the pictures online.
Yeah, so I'm completely in the jungle. It's 2.5 hours from Panama City, and you just drive along the coast through the jungle, and you end up at this little marina. It's about 4 hours sail to the Panama Canal, so that's going to be our next huge adventure, is going through the Panama Canal into the Pacific.
Yes, I'll ask you about that. How long have you been in Panama now?
It's been on and off for about 2 years. We do some work on the boat, we hang out for a while, and then we'll go somewhere else. But we've always ended up coming back here with the intention to sail home to New Zealand, but keep meeting these obstacles which stop that from happening.
I know. Didn't you have to move out to sea for a wee while because Panama got a little bit risky?
Yeah, when the pandemic first started, it became quite a sort of dangerous place to be. People were becoming desperate. It was a lot of uncertainty, and they locked the country down completely. You were only allowed out 1 hour every 3 days. We bought a bunch of supplies and just took off out to sea for about 6 weeks.
Lockdown there really meant lockdown, didn't it?
Yeah, 100%. So we went out to the Pearl Islands, which is off the coast of Panama, and just hung out there and caught fish to eat, and slowly went through our supplies, which were meant to be for crossing the Pacific Ocean. So it was a weird time.
A weird time. Yeah, you've been doing plenty of work on your very impressive-looking catamaran, but it's proven difficult trying to get her shipshape.
Yeah. We were about to leave to set across the Pacific, go to Galapagos, and then over to French Polynesia, and then finally on to New Zealand. But I found some serious structural damage inside the boat and broken bulkheads. So we turned around, came back, and at that time we also got struck by lightning, so I lost all of my electronics. It was a very trying time, that's for sure.
Yeah, on your YouTube channel is a diatribe from you about the problems you've had with your bulkheads on the boat. More than 300,000 views, I noticed, for that episode alone. So you've got a big online audience.
Yeah. It's continuing to grow. People took a keen interest in it. We do weekly episodes every Sunday. So people tune in, and they get entertained by my struggles, and so they subscribe and continue to come back week after week. So it's been really, really nice to have like such a big community supporting us, and they're really rooting for us and really want us to see us sailing across that Pacific Ocean.
Just to clarify, you've got the Sailing Parlay Revival YouTube page, Parlay being the name of the boat you're restoring, with a big subscriber base, and people will know you from your appearances on the Below Deck Sailing Yacht TV series as well. How do you enjoy the TV work?
Oh, that was an experience in itself. So after I found all the damage on the boat and I realized how expensive this was all going to be, right around that time they asked me to do the Below Deck TV show, and I was very hesitant at first to be so exposed on TV like that. It's literally filming for 24 hours a day. But I decided it was a good timing to go try something like that and earn a bit of money. And the tips were great. It's a proper charter boat, so we're doing charter, back-to-back charters.
The sailing yacht Parsifal in Below Deck Season 2, and I know I'm not allowed to ask you about Season 3. Is it as loose on those boats below decks as the TV shows make out? Because you seem to be the sensible one amid quite a lot of social mayhem.
Yeah. So it's a really challenging season. Because they do back-to-back seasons, everyone's just absolutely exhausted. And after every charter, we want to celebrate. So they sort of encourage us to drink as much as we possibly can. And, of course, with that comes a lot of drama. But I'm usually the one of the, apart from the captain, I was the oldest one on board. So I found a bit of a responsibility to try show a little bit of maturity if I can.
I imagine your having been on Below Deck means that fans of the show tune into the YouTube channel as well.
Yeah, that drove a lot of traffic. It's quite a diverse group we have watching us now.
After repairing the bulkheads inside the boat, you started on the next project, as I understand it, which was to extend the boat by a foot and a half at the back. And
yeah.
Even that small amount of extra length lets you do a lot more water activities. Is that how it works?
Yeah. So the boat was made with a very small bottom step. And because we're such an active crew, we're diving and surfing and, you know, loading chili bins on and off the boat and just very, very active people. So it's that extra space down the back there enables us to do all those activities much easier.
So you got struck by lightning, the bulkheads cracked, your dog died, and you caught COVID. What a time you've had.
Yeah, I've been in the wars. But you know what? Through all of that, I'm still smiling. We managed to keep a good positive attitude the entire time, because through all of those hardships, a lot of positive things came about, you know, including Below Deck, and all of these things just came at the right time, which wouldn't have come around if we had already started sailing across the Pacific. So I'm a very firm believer in everything happening for a reason, and I'm grateful for all of those things happening, except my dog dying. That kind of sucked.
Yeah, I imagine that would have sucked.
I was on Below Deck getting filmed when that happened. So,
really?
Yeah, I was hysterically crying on camera. That was like my first week on the show, and that was sort of my big introduction, was a family member dying, basically.
Yes. It must have been tough trying to initially isolate on the dry dock with so many people coming and going in that marina.
Yeah. Panama is really strict, so there's not a lot of socializing allowed at all. So people come and go, and a lot of people actually travel to come see us in the marina here. So we kind of have to oblige and chat with them, but there's no hanging out or shaking hands or anything like that. It's all at a distance. So it's a very unusual time to be to have visitors.
Yeah. How are you feeling now? Are you fully recovered?
Yeah. So it knocked me for six for like 3 days. My whole body ached. Well, my bones were just hurting. It was really, really bad. My throat was killing me. And after that, it just slowly went away. And I never lost my sense of smell or taste. I think I got off lightly, but it attacks people in different ways.
You're still young and you're obviously fit and healthy, but you stopped smoking, didn't you?
Yeah. I stopped smoking at the beginning of the year. 1st of January, I made a resolution and actually stuck to it for once. And, yeah, I feel a lot better for it.
Well done. Okay, so you've assembled a crew. Have you? How long is it going to take you to sail home?
So it's seasonal, so you don't want to be cruising across the Pacific during cyclone season. So the only next opportunity for me or for the crew is February next year to start slowly cruising across the Pacific. And we're thinking about going up to Mexico first and then going across from Mexico. So that'll bring us into New Zealand. We want to be in New Zealand by the start of the cyclone season, which is around November. And I absolutely cannot wait for that moment.
Who's with you? Who have you got on board?
So we have crew coming and going. We get a lot of inquiries. But right now there's only three of us. My girlfriend's on the boat, and I've just got a Kiwi guy who used to have a construction company. He wanted to come help out, so he's here as well. So there's three of us, but we usually have about 6 to 8 people.
And I imagine YouTube being so popular, that's a good source of revenue for the repairs you need to do on the boat.
Yeah, you get to a point, you know, you spend – so I've been doing this for about three – 3 years on YouTube now. And for that first year, it's just it's ridiculous how many hours you put in, and what you get out of it is absolutely nothing. But you hit the 50,000 subscriber mark, and then the 100,000 subscriber mark, and you're actually starting to earn an income. I'm at a point now where I'm very comfortable, that's for sure.
The parlay, was she banged up in one of the hurricanes?
Yeah. So that's why we called it Parlay Revival, is because she was in Hurricane Irma, which is the worst hurricane recorded in Atlantic history. And it came through and it wiped out the BVIs, the British Virgin Islands. And I saw an opportunity there to pick up one of those boats, because I knew they were going to go to the scrapyard if someone didn't start salvaging them. So I went there and I found a Lagoon 450 called Parlay. It had sunk on one side, and we revived it back to her former glory. It was just unfortunate that we just found some more structural damage recently, but we thought we were done. We thought we were heading home to New Zealand, and then eventually circumnavigating.
What a marvelous project, though.
Yeah, it's been really interesting. The people that have come and gone in our lives over the last few years to just help out and be crew and stuff. It's a phenomenal way of living at sea, you know, and you know, waking up in a new anchorage every few days and sort of just going wherever the wind takes you. It's really, really rewarding.
Colin McRae in Panama calling home. And you haven't been home for a long time now, have you?
Yeah, it's been 5 years, and I wanted to come home this year, and now all the quarantine is completely booked out, so I can't come home this year. I'm missing weddings. I haven't seen my family in 5 years, so it's not exactly, it's quite disconcerting, really, not knowing when I'm going to see my family again.
Your parents live on Great Barrier, don't they?
Yeah, they do. They got, my dad bought land in Schooner Bay, which is just the bay north of Tryphena, which is one of the main bays where the ferry goes in and out. And they've been there before I was born, they bought that. So they've been out there for a while, but they only just started living out there over the last few years.
Good place to be at the moment, though, has been for the last
few
months. Yeah.
It's a phenomenal community out there.
What made you give away that full-time job as a chief engineer? I know you're still doing the work, but you were pretty well full-time on the super yachts, and you thought, no, I'm going to buy a half-sunk catamaran.
Yeah. I had a bad experience. I had a bad captain. He was really, really difficult, quite abusive, and I thought, what am I doing wasting my time in this industry? There's far better things I should be doing with my time, and decided that I would start a surf charter company in Costa Rica. So that's what the boat was originally for. And started making YouTube videos and realized that was more fun than being based in Costa Rica full time. So we continued sailing and continued making videos, and the rest is kind of history.
Wonderful. Does the dollar stretch far in Panama, speaking of the need to make money?
Not really. No, it's become quite Americanized in a way, and some of the prices are similar to the States. But where I am, I'm in the jungle. I'm more sort of dealing with the local communities, and the groceries and vegetables and stuff are quite cheap. So I can't complain with living out here in the jungle. It's quite cheap, to be honest. We've done a lot of traveling around Panama, sailing around to different areas and different villages and towns and stuff, and it's beautiful. And we've already been through the canal 3 times. When we thought we were going to cross the Pacific, we went through, and then we weren't going to cross, so we came back through again, and it's $2,500 each time this boat goes through the canal. It's quite an experience. Oh. But, it was more economical for me to come back through the canal and come to a marina on this side than stay on the other side and pay for a marina over there. So it was the right decision in the long term. Like, we've got monkeys running around in the jungle here. You see a sloth every now and then cruising through. We do a lot of spear fishing. It's a really, really nice way of living out here. It's slow. It's relaxed. It's the Caribbean vibe. And, I'm really grateful to be here during the pandemic, to be honest with you.
I notice you are fond of a Mark Twain quote, 20 years from now, you'll be more disappointed by the things you didn't do than by the ones you did do. So,
yeah,
you want to live your best life.
For sure. I've always wanted to sail around the world. You know, when I had that experience with that captain and wanted to start that surf charter company, I realized that it was now or I would regret not doing it.
Being a chief engineer, is that a really hard job? Is that a slog on board a super yacht? I can imagine some of the jobs are pretty hard, but what about being an engineer?
Yeah, so the engineer on a super yacht has to take care of absolutely everything from the light bulbs all the way up to the main engines, you know, and there's two of those things, half the size of my catamaran here in the engine room. So you're in charge of all of the machinery, and there's stabilizers, then there's water makers, and there's air conditioning systems, and it can be quite challenging.
I would think you're the bloke that everybody would keep on side. It's strange that you got offside with the captain because you're invaluable.
Yeah, so the chief engineer and the chef, you want to keep the chef happy because he's the one feeding you, so probably more so than the engineer.
How did you get good at that? What did you do back in New Zealand that qualified you for that life?
I studied mechanical engineering at university, so I got a degree. And that fast-tracked me through the marine engineering process. So I got a real head start. They took, I think, 3 or 4 years off what the normal engineer would have to do at sea because of my degree. So they really recognized that as me being quite qualified and knew the theory anyway. So had to just put that into practice on a super yacht, which is a very steep learning curve in itself.
I imagine there'd be great camaraderie, though, on those boats. I don't know if you stay in touch with everyone you've ever sailed with, but it would be a pretty nice atmosphere a lot of the time.
Yeah, I always describe it as kind of like the same as dog years, because you're living together, you know, a year with someone in the same cabin, like if you're sharing with a deckhand or the chef or something, you guys get so close and you do become like a small family. You're working together, but you're also living together, and that's the difference between that and a normal job. Is you can't go home and be with your wife and kids and dogs and stuff. You're literally living and working and breathing with these people full time, and some of the biggest yachts in the world have 60 70 80 crew. So it's a different lifestyle, that's for sure, but there's so many pros and there's a few cons to that lifestyle. You miss out on a lot of normal things.
I suppose so, but gee, you've seen a lot of things too that most of us don't. I can hear the marina announcer in the background or something. She's not saying anything important.
No, that's the little food truck that comes around and sells pizzas and stuff.
I couldn't quite make it out. And your girlfriend, who is part of the crew, is she pretty well qualified in terms of being on a boat?
No, not really. She's from Italy, and she just she's from a corporate life there, and she just wanted a change of pace. She just realized she wanted to go out and see the world and try a life at sea, and she only really did that just over a year ago. So then she was working on a boat here in Linton Bay as a hostess, so cooking and cleaning the boat, and they would do charters and stuff like that. And then that kind of fell through, and next minute she was living on Parley, and that's how we ended up being together.
It's the sort of life a lot of people dream of, but very few people actually do. So all power to her and to you. So you'll sail back to New Zealand. Oh, the food van's getting louder. You'll sail back to New Zealand, and you'll stop off where?
do we need to wait for this van? Is it too irritating? Or
no, it's fading
it might
away.
Drive
now.
By yeah. Soon.
Yeah, I can hear it fading away now.
It's a really really long trip home. But so if we leave from Panama, the first stop will be Galapagos, which is incredible. But we may go up to Mexico first and then sail across from Mexico. So you go to places like French Polynesia and Samoa and Tonga and Niue and all of those countries.
Will you return to live in Titirangi or Aotearoa eventually? Are you going to come home at some point or not?
I don't really think that far ahead, to be honest. I've become slightly spiritual in my later years, and I feel like it's best to just take things week by week. And yeah, so I don't really have any plans to settle down anywhere, or I want to keep sailing for now, you know, and we'll see where that takes me. But I am pretty determined to circumnavigate this boat, so that's a lifelong goal that I'd like to accomplish first, that's for sure.
You're good at making things happen. Lovely of you to talk to us. I should let you go and get some food.
Yeah, it's about dinner time here, but yeah, I appreciate the call. It's been nice.